everybody. Yeah, we're back on the airways. I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas, holiday season, whatever you're doing. However it went down, whoever you spent it with, I hope it was wonderful. You know, we're approaching, I think when this is played, we're going to be into 2026. We're recording this just on the end of 2025. And so, you know, as so many shows do, they do like a year in review, and I wanted to do that too. And there was no person that I think better qualified to spend that time with us than my dear friend and yours, Carlton Huffman, recovering Republican, extraordinaire. What's up, buddy?
Well, I will sit here and say the start of the year, I think all of us were kind of filled with a sense of dread at the beginning of 2025.
We made it!
Like MAGA was ascendant. Georgia had just lost to Notre Dame in the college football playoff. But as we sit here at the end of 2025, I can sit here and say Christmas came early for me. I got to see Jake Paul and Andrew Tate both knocked out in the same weekend.
Yes.
And Georgia is sitting here pretty, getting ready to go to the Sugar Bowl against Ole Miss. So, like I said, the year is ending on a better note than it started.
It's on the upswing. That's good.
Absolutely it is.
Yes.
And I just wanted to just sit here and say, I mean, we went through a lot of bad this year, but I think it's just always important that we don't look at it through Pollyannish rose-colored glasses, but still, we have to sit here and say that the line has held in a lot of ways, so we can look forward to that into 2026. And so I'm going into it with a sense of hope compared to where I started at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I have to say, we're talking about holidays. One of the great yearly traditions that I look forward to personally is Carlton Huffman's Festivus extravaganza. So if you are one of the very few people that get to experience this, you know, just a sampling of what was to come. So this airing of grievances, things like this is timeless classics. Chihuahua owners are a bigger menace than pit bull owners.
Yes,
you know, we things that annoy us, lawyers with bow ties. You know, I think there was one about like passengers who put their feet on the dashboard and
gross and Jeep owners with the ducks.
I think
that one was from a previous year, but just all those right there.
TV like weather forecasters who name storms. When that happens here in Green Bay, it's a super annoying. Yeah. I mean, it was great. That was a compilation. Very, very, very well done.
And I can already say I have started the list for next year.
That's lovely. I love that. So as we look on at 2025, you know, it started out with Donald Trump's second inauguration. And one of the things that really kind of set the tone was it was talked about with these January 6th pardons. And I had a conversation with a family member about this on the Christmas holiday vacation. And it was like, we knew something was coming and we knew that something was going to happen. But when he pardoned everybody, that set the tone for like, oh, wow. Okay. So, and it's been not super awesome from here. So what are things that you really that stood out this year about, you know, in the political realm?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot to say in terms of a lot of the bad that we were warned about. And that's the thing that I don't like to be one of those who says, I told you so, but we were warned. Donald Trump said it himself, and the people around him said what they were going to do. They said they were going to do mass deportations. And we have had people, even in my hometown here in Western North Carolina, we had ICE going in, not to places where hardened criminals were, but going up to Home Depots, going up to Mexican restaurants, going up to places where predominantly Hispanic shoppers would frequent. We've had troops in the streets in Chicago and LA and other cities in the country. And we definitely have seen the rule of law shredded in many aspects. And I think that the most disappointing part has been the preemptive surrender of a lot of folks in the media. We saw ABC settle lawsuits with the president at the beginning of this term. And we've seen basically the Department of Justice politicized to a point that we've never seen in our history. So that those are the highlights right there. Happy to dig into some of the particulars of those. But
yeah,
we were warned. We knew it was going to be bad. There were some ways where the they were innovative in terms of how bad they were going to be. But I can also sit here and say that we've seen a lot of resistance, kickback, and also the fact that a lot of these people that they are putting, yes, they are absolute loyalists, but by default, they're also morons. So we've been saved by a lot of incompetence in that regard.
Well, and you know, I want to hit on all of those things. You know, the media was something that I wanted to talk about, and then the resistance to it. I want to hit that too, but I guess we'll start with the media. You know, it's. We had the segment on that was canceled on 60 Minutes, and you had the reason was we didn't get a quote from the White House, but that's one, and it's a very big one, but in a long list of things where the media has really just abdicated their responsibility.
I mean, the fact that they will, at what point they made in the first administration is, we're not going to televise the lies. Well, I mean, that's right. All that is coming out of these White House these right. days. And the media has decided, well, we've got an obligation to cover. So we're going to take these people saying what they're saying to us at face value. Like when it comes to the bruising on Trump's hands, we saw Joe Biden covered in a completely different way. Every fall, every stumble, every verbal miscue that he had was blown up and significantly covered, both in right-wing media, but also even you saw the mainstream media start to do their job at whenever Hunter Biden was being investigated at that time. And you see the Trump kids running around with their crypto coin schemes, basically lining their pockets and getting people from all over the world. And you see people basically buying pardons. And the media has basically decided to just accept that this is going to be how things are done. Steve Bannon said that we're going to flood the zone with excrement. And the media just seems to have accepted and thrown their hands up at the fact that this is how it's going to be. And I just want to salute a lot of the citizen journalists out there. You're seeing people, whenever these ICE raids happen, it's not some mainstream reporter. These are people with TikTok accounts and their cell phones recording the abuses and putting them out there to a larger audience. But it's a shame that we have an institutionalized media in this country. But they are in many ways cowed by the threat that they are ruled by corporate overlords, and these corporate overlords have business before the administration, and the administration has not been shy. We've seen it with the recent Warner Brothers business deal, that these people want their mergers approved, and therefore they're going to have to go to the administration for that thumbs up or thumbs down, and they'd rather surrender and take care of their shareholders than take care of the diligence that journalism requires.
I don't understand that. You know, you have some people, I know Jake Tapper has been outspoken, Anderson Cooper has been outspoken, and there are some folks that have talked about the need to tell the truth. And what's crazy is, like, there's so much misinformation coming from the White House, and you could, in a news report, you could report on all of that, but that would cover the entirety of that half hour news segment. And so, you know, and the administration would say, oh, they're being so unfair. There's fake news, fake news, fake news. But they're just reporting the truth. They're reporting what it is. Honestly, the media and the news media just completely abdicating their responsibility. That's one of the most dangerous things, I think, that's coming out of this administration right now.
Absolutely, because one thing that we cannot just count on is the fact that the system is going to police itself. We've seen the Republican Party as an institution has folded. We've seen that Congress, when it's controlled by both houses of Congress in Republican hands, they're abdicating their responsibilities. You had, of all people, Marjorie Taylor Greene in a New York Times interview today saying that Speaker Johnson has no independence from the White House. And then you have the judiciary that is supposed to rule on the constitutionality of these actions. They are asleep at the switch in terms of the Supreme Court itself. I mean, the lower courts, I think, are doing an admirable job of trying to slow things down. But if people do not have the facts from sources that they trust coming to them on a constant basis, they cannot effectively resist or know what is going on that they should be resisting from this administration, and people are basically checked out.
Well, and you know, you look at the Supreme Court, one of the things that I have on here is the Supreme Court allowing the state of Texas to just gerrymander out in the open. you know. Yeah.
And that one was a tough one, but I'm going to sit there and say that I think on a positive note that people can look back to is that you Texas being the state that likes to pride itself on the Alamo and being the big swaggering, I mean, manly men that people should look forward to as an example, you have to look at the Midwest. And I've got to salute the people of Indiana yes. and the Republicans in yes. the state Senate in Indiana in the face of enormous political pressure and repeated visits from the vice president, death threats to their families, doxing, and just like continued harassment from the president and his activists on every level. You had Steve Bannon basically broadcasting from the hallways of the state capitol there in Indiana, and they found courage, which is what more than we could say for a lot of these media folks. But people yeah. who were at the center of the storm found their courage, even within the Republican Party. So that's just one group of people that deserve our admiration and respect.
Yeah, that did take immense courage. You're exactly right. We're talking with Carlton Huffman, our year in review. And when it comes to fighting all of the excrement that's being put out, this year did have a fair amount of protests from No Kings to the Good Trouble Lives On National Day of Protest. There's going to be another No Kings thing, People's March on Washington. Talk about that. What does that do?
It absolutely, and I can say this as like I said, recovering Republican, having seen it during the Obama era when the Republican Party as a whole after the 2008 election was in a much bigger hole mm-hmm. than the Democrats find themselves, because John McCain got blown out in that election. Uh-huh. Democrats had a super majority yeah. in the United States Senate and a big majority in the House of Representatives. And they were basically, Republicans had nowhere to go except for out into the streets with the Tea Party. And yeah. regardless of what you think of what they did motivate people. They did bring people together in community and solidarity. And that inspired candidates to get off the couch and run for office. And as time went on and the effects of the economy and resistance to Obamacare built up, that allowed the Republican Party to get back in the game and actually start putting wins on the board at the ballot box, which is where it ultimately counts. But the fact is that the No Kings protesters deserve all the respect in the world for what they put together. I can remember the first few weeks of the administration, it was mostly Hispanic folks who were just bracing for what was going to come. Mm-hmm. They were protesting in state capitals. And then you saw more and more people starting to come out. It's peaked right there in time this fall, right before the November yeah. elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and across the country. And you saw the results. You saw Democrats blow the doors off of the results in both those races. You saw Democrats win statewide contests in Georgia,
yeah.
which is something they had not done in two decades outside of the federal elections. And you saw in places like Pennsylvania, where Republicans had never lost local office before, you're seeing those offices in key battleground counties held by Democrats now. So, and we saw it too in Wisconsin. I said yeah. it at the very beginning of the year. Y'all were the first big test where Elon yeah. Musk threw $25 million.
Right.
Trying to get Brad Schimmel elected to the state Supreme Court, and he lost by double digits.
Yeah, we had her on the show. We're talking with Carlton Huffman. The year in review will continue on the Rational Revolution right after this.